while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I don't know, I was thinking about this evening. Charlene asked me as we went to pray before the service. And she asked me the question, "Are you ready?" I said to her, "I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready." Now, she was talking about the service, but I was answering more than the service. When I was answering, "I don't know if I'm ready," I was answering, "I don't know if I'm ready for the service. I don't know if I'm ready to share what I think, I believe, I sense the Lord has laid on my heart. I don't know if I'm ready for 2023. I don't know about you. Aish. 2022's, my muscles are aching. Do you know what I mean? Is it just, maybe it's just me. It's warm in here, isn't it? Hey, like, all of a sudden I stopped and like, is it me? I know I wasn't really jumping much, but I'm feeling hot all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're supposed to say that. Yeah, can we just crack a couple of them open, please? Thank you. Ooh la la. And I said, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know. You know, as I was thinking about today and thinking about whether I'm ready, and thinking about the year that we have and the year that we're about to, literally, you know, 36 minutes from now, we will enter 36, that clock is a bit dodgy. Yeah, 36. We will enter 2023, you know. Those of you who are watching, you're not watching, those of you who are joining service online, on radio, on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, welcome. Good to have you with us. I know a few people who said they're going to be online tonight, so welcome. So as I was thinking about today and thinking about what I'm going to share and what I sense, etc., I started to think about the price I'm paying for my own life, the price I'm paying to be who I think and sense God is calling me to be and become. What am I doing about that? And as I was thinking about price, I started thinking about my family, thinking about my wife, my children. And I thought, actually, how many people here would consider themselves wealthy? That you think, you know, you say to yourself, actually, I'm a wealthy person. Can I see a hand? Okay, one, two of the men, three, okay, a couple of ladies. No, don't pull his hand up if he doesn't want to, hey. Ah, she was like, no, put your hand up. Leave honey's hand alone. Ah. So a few people have said, yes, I'm a wealthy person. It's interesting, more men put their hands up than women. So let me ask you, how many women in here have got children? Hands up, all of you, or grandchildren. All right, you put your hand down. I saw that hand. You were with children. You just turned 18. What's wrong with you? Unless there's something you want to share. I mean, your mom's at the back, you know. She might have something to say about that. So ladies that put your hand up with children that didn't put your hand up as wealthy, how much would you pay for your child? All right. Should we assign not for sale, did you say? Why not for sale? Because they're yours. Because they are of immeasurable. There are many different ways to measure the wealth of God. When God says you're wealthy, I've blessed you with every blessing. What we do is we go to the machine, doot, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, pin code. And the machine says, the machine, when you say balance check, the machine, a message comes up, are you asking me? Like you don't know. How many times have you done that, you know? Maybe it's just me, you know, you open the app and you look in there thinking, last time I looked it was 42 pounds. And today it's 42 pounds. As if the money was just going to suddenly become 2,000. In the book of Revelation, our key chapter for today, Revelation 21:5. Chapter 21 of the book of Revelation is the penultimate, last but one chapter of the entire Bible. And it reveals certain things, and Charlene touched on them a little bit today. But if we read the chapter before, we start to see all sorts of stuff about what's happening with God's people. The children of Israel, these guys, you know, they're a great bunch, but, you know, excuse my language, a little bit of a crazy bunch as well, you know. They do really good things, and then they'll mess up. And chapter 20 is talking about the fact that they've messed up. They've done all this stuff they shouldn't have done. They were shown to be disobedient. They were shown to be out of God's will. Like we are sometimes. Like we are too many times, too often. When you look back on your 2022, have you always been in God's will? Have you always chosen in accordance with what God would have you choose? And of course, that when you read chapter 21 of Revelation, it's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. It's talking about this, you know, the kingdom of God that is to come, that will come. That is promised to us as believers in Jesus. Now, how many people agree with me that the kingdom of God is not yet? Do you agree? Yes, a few people agree. The rest of them are checking their theology. The kingdom of God is not yet, because the kingdom of God is to come. And when you read Revelation, particularly 2021 around there, you start to get a sense of the promise, the kingdom that is to come. But at the same time, the interesting thing about our theology is we recognize that the kingdom of God is also now, is it not? And we today are in that kingdom, living in that kingdom. So, if we are living in that kingdom, in the kingdom of God, and we're living in his kingdom, the kingdom of God is not just the not yet, the kingdom of God is the now, then surely there has to be evidence of that kingdom in where we're living, how we're living, in what we're experiencing, right? And that's what I really want to touch on today. That we are living proof that the kingdom of God exists now. We're living proof. And as much as I said, as much as this text speaks of the kingdom of God, the kingdom to come, I also want to apply it to the kingdom that we're living in. The kingdom, the promise that's already here. The now that's already here. And I particularly want to focus in Revelation 21 on verses 3 to 7. I know 5 is our key text for today, but we're just going to look at 3 to 7. As I talk through each verse, you know, I want you to reflect on what has happened for you in 2022. I want you to reflect on where you've been, your experience of 2022, and your hope for 23. Verse 3, it's already on screen. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So, no, it's okay. We'll take it one verse at a time. Thank you. And so, now the dwelling of God is with men. This kingdom that is to come, that word now is talking about when? Now, right? The dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And you know, I looked at this verse very simply. It's not a big, deep thing. Just want us to just journey in the text and see what it's saying. The dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. Have you ever had a lodger or somebody come to live with you? You know, a guest for the weekend. And you know what you do? You make room for them, right? You factor them in the way you're cooking. You know, you think, oh, you know, we need an extra piece of chicken. You know, we need to put more water in the soup so there's enough to go around. Whatever it is that you do for them. You factor them in. You don't just walk out of the house. You say, okay, I'll see you in a bit. We're just going out. And those of you, if you're the one living with somebody, you're thinking, I wish they would put more water in the soup so I get some. Scripture says, and he will live with them. And when I looked at that, I thought, to myself, is God living with me? Have I made room for him? Have I made space for him to dwell? You know, like you do with a lodger, you say, oh, is this okay for you? Have you got enough pillows? I don't know, some people like to sleep. I have 2 pillows. You know, if my wife had her way, you know, the whole bed would be full of cushions and pillows and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, she says it looks nice. It looks nice, but you wake up with whiplash. You know, I mean, you know, But you ask your guest, the one who's with you, who's dwelling with you, is this enough for you? Or is your room warm enough? Is the room warm enough for you now? Yeah, temperature's good. You know, you check. You double check. Is it okay? Those on this side where there's a bit of, you know, air coming in. Is it too cold?
Yes.
No. Hey. That was a very quick yes. You want this one shut? Can we please, just this one. Hey. That yes, I'm sure everybody at home heard that yes. Woo la la. It's a good thing I checked, right? You see. Did you hear that, Lord? You see what I did there? Hey, champion. But he will live with them. How is he living with you? That conversation you had on the bus that time. That thing that happened with your boss that time. When mom and dad spoke to you and you walked out of the room, what was in your heart? Is he living with you? It says they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. And unfortunately, saints, sometimes we behave like those children of Israel. We behave in such a way that God comes in and imagine you're a guest in someone's house and they say, this is where you're going to sleep. And you walk into the room and the bed's unmade and the pillow's got stains on it. And there's this damp smell in the room. How would you feel? It wouldn't be nice. You would feel like they don't value you. Would you be encouraged to stay? Of course not. So how much more our sovereign God, the creator of the universe, who is looking to dwell with us? Verse 4. Says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Just pause on that. Remember earlier on I asked the question, I said, how many of you here can say you felt no pain in 2022? I look around this room and I know, obviously, PHBC family, I know some of your stories. We've cried together, haven't we? We've mourned together, haven't we? We've rejoiced. Hey, when we eat our family meals in the hall, hey, that's good food, right? You know. But we felt the tears. We felt the pain. We felt the difficulty. But when the Lord is with us, he is the one that wipes away every tear. And I'm sorry to say, too often, too easily, what we do is we stay where we are. We hold on. Because he's not dwelling with us, the pain lingers. I can't remember who. I asked a question earlier on. What was I saying about when you said there's no other way? Pardon? Yeah, what was the... Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Have you ever worshipped God through the pain and you said something like there's no other solution or something like that? There's no other solution. You worship through that pain. And the more you do that, isn't it amazing that the pain just seems to go quicker? Anybody ever taken that medicine of worship? I remember when I was doing I was studying theology when I was at Spurgeon's College, and it was our very first year, and there was a fellow student, a colleague. He was living on campus. And I'll never, ever, ever, 31st of March. And we arrived that day, and they said, oh, sorry, there's been a situation. Thames Water, the people doing the roadworks in the street have dug up one of the pipes. We have no water in the entire campus. So we're going to send people home. At the same time, and this guy was in our pastoral group. You know, we were quite close. We used to study together, pray together, you know. And one of the other guys in the group said, oh, haven't seen Nathan. I'm just going to go up, you know, he lived on campus as well. I'm just going to go up to his room and bang on his door. Nathan, boom, 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 get up, man. Kicking the door, trying to be funny. Silence. Oh, maybe he's left. After a while, we looked everywhere, couldn't find Nathan. Called the lady, the housekeeper, and she went there and they opened the door. And Nathan had passed away in his sleep that morning. Now, one of the things we did as a community at Spurgeon's College, we're ministers in training, we're Christians. It's a Christian college. Every day, every single day, we have a time of worship in the chapel. We'd go in there every single day, pause the lectures, let's go to chapel. And we would sing, hear the word of God, pray together. And then the following day, Tuesday, the 1st of March, 1st of April, we had to roll into chapel. And those who didn't come into college because they were told, you know, they got a text saying don't bother coming in, on Tuesday the chapel was full when the announcement was made, right at the beginning of the service. And what did we do? We started to worship. We sang that song, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores. But the chorus says, I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your endless mercy. For your goodness will lead me home, your goodness will lead me. 24 hours earlier, your friend was found dead. And you're standing in chapel singing, I will trust in you alone. How easy do you think that? The whole college, we were, I will trust because you had to tell yourself, do it. Sing it. I will not be ruled by my emotions. Lord, where are you? Right there, said the Lord. Right there. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. For he is with me. So verse 4, right? Are we on 4? Yeah, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The old order of things. Are you still who you used to be? Are you still who you used to be? 3 days ago, we had a baptism right here. And the people that got baptized came with their daughter. And I made a comment. I said, she is someone who can truly see if there's a change in their lives. Sometimes we go through these things. You know, we'll come to the front, we'll have a respond to an altar call, we'll say a prayer, we'll go for this, that, and the other. We don't tell anybody. It's the old friends sometimes. You know, no, we don't even get the old friends. We just don't tell anybody. We say it's between us and God. And you know what? It's so easy to then go back to those guys. Go tell Jack and George and Julie and Georgette. And those people that used to drag you and distract you away from the things of God, tell them you made that decision. Because you know what? If you tell them, when you come back to do that thing or say those things in that place with those people in that context, they will be the first ones to say, I thought you said you got baptized. I thought you said you go to church now. No, but we don't tell them. No, 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 no. I ain't tell. No, 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 no. Your club buddies. Your deal guys. The people that cover for you when you're lying to your spouse. Ouch. Oops. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Was that too much? Oops. You don't tell them that there's been a change. Of course not. And so many times we hold on to the old order of things. That old way of thinking. The old way of mistrust. Oh yeah, you know, your buddy Jack upset you and he hurt you and he betrayed you. And because Jack betrayed you, you're not going to trust John. Because Julie did it, you're not going to trust Janet. Come on, that's the old order of things. Because when the Lord is with you, living with you, dwelling with you, the old order of things has passed away. Verse 5 says, I need to get a move on here. All these fireworks are going off. Have we got verse 5 on screen? Yes? Thank you, media team. Love you forever. Verse 5, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Do we believe them? Do you know it is proven that when you write something down, there's a greater propensity that you'll remember it? Scripture says, he didn't say read it. He didn't say remember it. He said write it. These days,
technology and we remember stuff, but we don't remember it all. I find it really warming and comforting when I see sometimes, I'm not saying you must, but when I see people writing notes during a sermon, and I'm like, yeah, you clearly want to remember it, you know? And some people are getting out their notebooks now, don't worry. They're like, ooh, get my notebook out. And then they're not writing it like this, they're writing it like this. Okay, I can see your notebook. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Verse 6 says, he said to me, I will do it. Is that what he says? He says, wait for it to be done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. This is the promise. This is the now that we're meant to be walking in, saints. This is it. This is the now. This is the kingdom. This is the evidence. To him who is thirsty, where is your thirst? What is that thing that you've been praying for? You say, Lord, like Isaiah chapter 6, Lord, how long? Lord, how long? What is that thing? That person you've been hoping for? That situation you've been believing for? You've read the scriptures. You've confessed it. You're faithful. You go to church. Hey, you are there. You are there. After the Holy Spirit, it's you in church. First in, last out. And yet, you're waiting. It says, I will give to drink without cost. Without cost. Are you hearing this? This is what we should be living in. This is what is yours in the kingdom of God that is now. Verse 7. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God and he will be my son. And before you're saying son and daughter, no, son. It's significant. It's not a gender thing. It's a positional thing. That's just the language that was used. It's not because the idea of the son there is the one that inherits. That means you are an heir of God. You, whatever your gender, you're entitled to the promise. Amen? Let's look at verse 5. He didn't say he has made everything new. Look at it. He didn't say, you know, it's not in the past. Sumi and I were talking about cars today. Many of you know, some of you might know, I'm a little bit of a petrol head. I really like cars. You know, I say petrol head, although that's kind of changing now. I started looking at electric cars. And I'm like, ooh, wow, you know, these things are quite good. Oof. I said to somebody once, I've never driven an electric car. And one day he showed up here with an electric car and says, let's go for a drive. And I drove it. It was nice. It was okay. And I was like, okay, box ticked. It's all right, you know? It's all right. I asked him, I said, how much is a car like this? It's 72 grand. I was like, okay, all right. I'll stick to my diesel. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about cars. And in fact, I showed her. She was like, oh, how much are electric cars? So I Googled Mercedes EQ something something. Starting price. Starting, I said. 105, yeah, 105 grand. There are people that live in properties for that price. Or less, absolutely. Because, and part of the reason is because we're looking at our car and I'm dreaming, I'm saying, oh, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, you know, I want to, ooh, because I like cars. Of course I'm going to dream, of course. She said, oh, you know, I saw a car that was red. She said, as far as I'm concerned, the only red car that anybody should drive is a Mini. I said, the only red car anybody should drive is a Ferrari. Of course I would say that. God didn't say he has, like our car that was once new and is no longer new. It was new. It was new. But it now is not new. You buy a brand new car, you drive out to the showroom, take 5 grand off the price. If you drive it around the block and bring it back, you will not get back what you paid for it. It's impossible. It was, he didn't say, I have made, he has made everything new. God didn't say he will make everything new. Look at the tense. He's not saying hope for it. He's not saying there's nothing wrong with hoping. He's not saying wait for it. There's nothing wrong with waiting. After all, the entirety of Christian faith is based on hope. He didn't say, I will make everything new. He said, I am making everything new. I am, current, present. The I am is him, is his name. This starts with him. I am making everything new, he says. I am, current, present, continuous, and on and on and on. No end to it. Not just now and done, but now and again and again. So what needs to be new in your life? What needs to change? What needs to be restarted? You know, before we get there, let me also point something out. Sometimes we don't enter into the newness of God because of our own limiting beliefs. We don't enter into the new because of our own doubt. Sometimes doubt keeps us on the same spot. Skepticism. Well, you know, I prayed that time and it didn't happen, so what's the point? And I get that, of course. But saints, not believing the word of God keeps us in the same place. Fear can keep us in the same place. You know, the whole thing, I don't know if anyone can help me. I don't know if I can get a better job. I don't know if my marriage can be better. I don't know if I'm up to the task. I don't know if I can manage on the money that I'm earning. I don't know. I don't know if my business will ever succeed. I don't know if I can get help. Come on. Stop looking. Stop focusing on what you don't know. Focus on what you know. Focus on what you know. That his words are trustworthy and true. That he is making everything new. So what are you looking at? What's your focus? You know, if you look at verse 5, this particular translation doesn't have it. But absolutely, well, virtually every other one has it. There's a word that comes right here. The word is behold. This is a new NIV. So it's the NNIV. The slightly older one, the King James, the Message, the Amplified. Says, behold. Other translations will say, look, I am making everything new. Others will say, see, I am making everything new. And it's rooted in a Greek word. It's rooted. This Greek word is called idou. Idou or idou. I-D-O-U. Nigerians are saying, it's not a Nigerian name. Stop it. You know, idou, idou, whatever. You, however you want to say it. And that word doesn't just mean look, as in open your eyes and see. It says look at something remarkable. It's the wow, look, not just look. That's the word used. The first time this word was used in the book of Matthew, when Joseph was wondering what to do, he found out Mary was pregnant. Dude was like, whoa, what's going on here? And the Bible says the angel appeared. The word is behold, an angel appeared. Like, wow, something happened. The angel appeared. It's that word. So what are you looking at? What are you beholding? And you might say, you know what, Deji, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand how tough it's been. You're right. I don't understand how tough it's been. I probably will never understand how tough it's been. I didn't say the new thing he will do. I didn't say the new thing he has done. I said the new thing he is doing. As you're looking back over your life, think about what he is doing. Nobody trying to go somewhere, successfully go forward, does so looking back. Nobody does that. You can't. Yes, by all means, glance back, but look forward. Behold, I am making all things new. Behold, I make all things. Even the word make is a present continuous word. It's not have made or will make. It's a present now word. Saints, as I said, it's impossible for you to look behind you and be successful jumping forward. When I was thinking about myself and Lord, what are you saying to me for 2023? One word came to me and I shared it with a few people. Trust, he said to me. He says, son, trust. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says these words. It says, trust, right, in the Lord with some parts of your feelings. And if you like, you can meditate on it once in a while and work it out for yourself. Is that what it says? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Earlier on, I talked about wealth and worth and what we're prepared to pay. Saints, to enter into this new thing that God is doing, should I tell you what you need to pay? It's a really round number. In fact, it's the roundest number in mathematics. Zero, nothing, zilch, squat. You don't have to pay anything. Why? Jesus paid it all. How many people know that song? Hey, the worshiper is like, oh, let's go. Go, pastor, let's sing. Jesus paid it. There's nothing for you to pay. It doesn't mean there's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to pay. Difference. What do? Well, you stand on his promises. What do? Believe him. Believe his word. What do? Persevere in belief and hope and trust. That's what you do. His promises are yea and amen. They are yes and amen for the modern folk. And what are these promises? Promises like Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. That says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Promise like Matthew 11, 28, 29, where he's, no, let's do Isaiah 26, 3. Isaiah 26, 3, he says, he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in him. Matthew 11, 28, 29, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he says, his grace is sufficient for you, his power is made perfect in your weakness. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord says he will fight for you. All you need to do is what? Be still. Be still, saints. Be still. Chill. He will fight for you. Psalm 91. And when COVID broke, we confessed. He says he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. These are the promises you hope for on. These are the promises you believe on, you trust on. There's no price to pay. There's something to do. Is you hope, you trust. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, my life scripture. He says that God works for the good of those who love him. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Isaiah 40, 29 says he gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Do any of these verses apply to you? What do you need to be confessing? Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is formed or fashioned against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you will be refuted, will fall. They will fail in their accusations. These are the promises of God. And so today, when the Lord tells you, behold, I am making everything new, write these words down. They are trustworthy. They are true. When God says that to you, what is your response? What areas of your life do you need to see renewal? What areas of your life do you need to see change?
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.